Let's now consider the theory of natural monopoly and the difference between what is often called weak and strong natural monopoly. Common examples of natural monopolies are electricity distribution systems and water piping systems, but often the concept of natural monopoly is used somewhat loosely or impressionistically. Does it mean that in a market setting there would just be a single producer, or does it mean that there should just be a single producer? Well, we're going to look at this a little more rigorously and break down the concept of natural monopoly into two different cases. And as mentioned, those cases will be strong natural monopoly and weak natural monopoly. As we will see, this difference will relate to whether average cost, AC, is decreasing, as with strong natural monopoly, or in weak natural monopoly, AC is increasing. We can define decreasing average cost by this equation here. What this means is that as more units of the good are produced, the average cost of producing each unit falls. So you could also put this on a graph, and here would be average cost, and as Q is increasing, AC is going down. And of course, this could be true across some range of the output, but not all ranges of the output. So this is defined across some particular range, namely where the market will be. Now let's consider the concept of subadditivity. We can write subadditivity as follows with the cost function. Here we have cost, and in parentheses we have a sum of Q superscript I, close parentheses, being less than or equal to another sum here, CQ superscript I. What the left-hand side portrays here is simply the cost of producing all those units in a single firm. What the right-hand side portrays is the cost of taking those units and, say, producing them through using 10 little different firms. And if subadditivity holds, well, it's cheaper to produce that given quantity of output in the single larger firm. In this setting, subadditivity is simply an assumption without which we don't have natural monopoly at all. Decreasing average cost is something which, as we will see, may or may not hold. By definition, we have strong natural monopoly when both assumptions hold, and thus we are considering the case of decreasing average cost. We can draw that case like this. So here we have a demand curve, we have the marginal revenue curve, we have an average cost curve, and we have a marginal cost curve. And what's striking about this picture is that if we were to set price at marginal cost right here, well, that would be normally the efficient price. But at that price, you can see that average cost is above price. So if average cost is greater than price, then the firm is earning profits which are less than zero, or the firm is suffering losses. In these cases, due to subadditivity in both strong and weak natural monopolies, it is cheapest for a single firm to supply all output. But the general question which arises is a single firm sustainable? Well, in the case of strong natural monopoly, if we set price equal to marginal cost, the traditional optimality condition, we can see that a subsidy is needed. Again, you can see in this picture that where demand meets marginal cost, average cost is above that point, and it's the subsidy that would be needed to make up that difference. And if you're wondering, by the way, how is it that average costs are getting to be higher than marginal costs? Well, basically it has to do with the presence of fixed costs in the production function, namely costs that must be incurred no matter what, just to get the firm up and running. Those fixed costs will not contribute to marginal cost, but they will make average cost higher. Sometimes the regulators will allow a firm to set price equal to average cost, and then that means there will not be any subsidy needed for the firm. This is done for a few reasons. One is simply that subsidies to firms are not politically popular, but another reason is that subsidies to firms are often distorting or cause corruption. Or there's a problem. How do you know how much subsidy to send to the firm? What do? Just call up the firm and ask, hey, what's your cost curve? Well, they're probably going to lie to you to get a higher subsidy. So in practice, with regulation, price equals marginal cost under strong monopoly is not always attainable, and often the regulators settle for something more in the neighborhood of price equals average cost. We'll now consider the case of weak natural monopoly, where subadditivity again holds, but we do not have decreasing average cost. Rather, we have increasing average cost. The important mathematical point here is that for AC to be rising, marginal cost has to be greater than average cost. That is, you only get an average to be rising by tacking on some larger numbers to that average. But if marginal cost is greater than average cost, and we're going to be trying to set price equal to marginal cost, then indeed price itself will be greater than average cost, and the firm will earn profits rather than suffering losses. We can see here in this diagram that at price equal to marginal cost, that is indeed above average cost, and thus profits will be greater than zero. The good news is we don't need that subsidy anymore. The bad news is that we have a new problem, and that is entry is possible, and that conceivably could raise total production costs. So the new firms may engage in what is sometimes called cream skimming, namely trying to serve the most profitable segments of the market and leaving the initial entrant to cover all the others. It's sometimes claimed, for instance, that if we opened up the U.S. Postal Service to full private competition, you might get, say, three or four suppliers, mostly fighting over the most lucrative urban segments of the market. What you would have is three or four different firms bearing those fixed costs we talked about. Because of subadditivity, this may not be socially efficient to be having three or four different firms paying the fixed costs of setting up a delivery network. Yet, because of the struggle over these profits based on monopoly or market power, maybe that's what you'd get, at least according to this theory. So what does this look like? Well, here you would imagine a bunch of firms fighting over the top portion of this demand curve, the consumer surplus for people who demand service the most. And the people who use this model to favor entry restrictions, well, they focus on the fixed costs. They say you would have here, say, three different firms bearing those blocks of fixed costs to set up a delivery network, as opposed to the one possibly state-protected monopolist, and then that is an argument for creating a state-protected monopolist. Other economists will accept the logic of this view, but they come to a different policy conclusion. They place a lot of stress on innovation and also the dynamic benefits of competition. So they understand that by having three competitors, as here, you will pay more in terms of fixed costs, but over the longer run, you'll have more innovation, say, in how packages are delivered and tracked, and the benefits of that dynamic competition will outweigh the initial payment of higher fixed costs. And these individuals would argue then that we should allow a competitive market to operate, and how you will make this judgment call depends on how important you think the fixed costs are compared to these factors of innovation and dynamic competition. But in any case, it's the theory of weak natural monopoly which helps you see this trade-off. There are plenty of places where you can pursue these topics. One route to go is simply to study specific sectors and industries, but more generally, you can Google strong weak natural monopoly, also Google natural monopoly regulation, and here's a very useful source. It's not online, it's not free, but it's a very good book, and it's called Natural Monopoly Regulation.